This is Mythical.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, Link, how you doing?
Good, good. You ready?
Well, listen, I'm ready. Listen, do you know that this is our 50th episode?
Really?
Of Dispatches from Myrtle Beach.
The big 5-0?
And I thought instead... Yeah. And I thought, you know, maybe to commemorate this 50th episode, we'll let Logan cue the music and me and you'll stand up and dance for 50 seconds.
Okay. Yeah. I like this. I think I got 50 seconds in me. All right. Let's do it. Extended version. Trying to do your dance.
Halfway.
Oh, this is only halfway?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, Dad, are you gonna be able to make it?
Oh yeah, I dance all the time.
Like this?
I dance like this.
Oh, I tried to do a spin move and
okay.
I lost my. Is it over? You spun me around, Dad.
And
why am I winded? Why am I the one who needs to catch his breath? What's up with that?
I don't know. You need to come down here to the beach and go dance with me and Nancy more often. But
for real.
Hey, so this is Dispatches from Myrtle Beach with Charles Neal and my son Link. And all for all you Myrtle Beasts, y'all keep watching because we're going to try to get 50 more in the next year or two. So,
okay, yeah. I mean, if it doesn't happen in 2 years to get 50, we've really slowed our roll.
Well, I guess
you're right. If we're doing it, well, here I am.
He's doing it twice.
I'm not good at math, I guess. If we do it every other week, it's 52 weeks in a year.
That's 25, so that's about 2 years, ain't it?
I'm sorry, I didn't trust you with the math.
I can add. But I didn't get no engineering degree, so I can't help you.
I'm apparently not using mine. How you doing, though? Good to see you.
I'm doing good. Yes. It's got cold here.
Oh, but, well, what do you mean by cold in North Myrtle Beach?
It was about 35 degrees here this morning when we got up.
So for November, that's pretty unusual.
Well, I mean, last week it was in the 80s, and yesterday it was in the 70s, and today the high was 52, and the wind blowing about 35 miles an hour. So it was cold today.
This is not why you moved to Myrtle Beach. Are you upset?
Well, no, because the weather said we'd have about 3 days of it, and next week it'd be back about 80. So you just learn to live with it and roll with it. That's
now,
all you gonna
you have changing of leaves down there, right?
Oh yeah.
We don't have any of that out here. You know. That's the thing that the Southern Californians complain about. Oh, you know, I miss the seasons. Oh, I miss the seasons. Oh, the leaves changing. I just wish I could see leaves changing. What's the big deal about leaves changing? I mean, it's beautiful and all, but like, I don't know. I, Dad, you know I like it out here. I'm willing to give up a little leaves changing.
If it's that bad for them, they just need to move.
I know, exactly. I can visit leaves changing if I really get the hankering.
Oh, yeah. Of course, going and seeing it in person ain't the same as watching it on TV or seeing them, you know, in a picture. But,
yeah,
I mean, if they're crying that much about it, they need to refigure out if they really like living where they live at and they need to move somewhere else, because I don't want to live in the mountains.
Yeah.
I ain't living up there. I don't like cold weather that much.
Me neither.
So just the hell with that.
It's nice to shake it up a little bit for a visit.
Yeah, it's a place to visit and for me to come back to the beach. I'm telling you. Yeah.
And I will see that you got a new look. I got to say that. The mullet is gone.
It is
this thing of the past. And last time I thought it was gone, you were just messing with me. But give me a profile here. Okay.
Yeah,
you got some neck coverage, but
I got me some curls and stuff.
Yeah, it looks good.
Before I left it long. Yeah.
I'm backing off of it slowly as well. You know, it had its moment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
And we'll never forget it.
Yeah.
We'll never
but you can't never tell, you know. I might start growing it long again, but not just for a mullet, just to have it long. I don't know. Can't ever tell. But we'll
I know
see.
Sometimes you like to have all your hair long.
Well, I got a little story to tell you before we get into something else here. But I went to the bank last week.
Yeah.
I was going to get a check cashed and walked into the bank, and there was this young guy. There's a teller. And he said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yes." And I handed him the check. And he said, I got an account here. He said, "Well, I just need to see your ID. And so I pulled my driving license out and showed him my ID and Charles Lincoln Neal Jr. on it. And he kind of looked at me and I said, "Hold on. I just want to make sure that you understand and know who I am." And I pulled my phone out. And popped up the podcast from Dispatches from Myrtle Beach, and me and you sitting on it, and the boy fell out.
He fell out of his stool?
He wasn't in it. He was standing up and fell out, and I thought he was going to pass out and fell back in his stool. Now, he didn't, he put us together, but he said, "Oh, my God, I've been watching Rhett and Link for..." And he, but about 23, but ever how many years, y'all, I think he'd been watching.
Right.
And then he said.
His whole life.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah. Then he said, "And y'all got that thing you just showed me, Dispatches from Myrtle Beach. I've watched that some too." He said, he told all the other people that were tellers in there were women. And he said, "Well, we got a famous person in the house today," and they said, "We know who he is. We know who he is. We know he's famous. We don't bother him and make fools out of ourselves."
Yeah, be cool,
like,
man. Be
do.
Cool. Get his money. Actually, you were trying to get your money. Did you get a little extra? You know, what did you get out of this deal?
No, I was afraid to. He counted it, and I said, as Bumfall, I don't want you to get in no trouble. You might count that again. Make sure you. Right. I don't want you to come up short at the end of the day. But
you made him count it twice because he couldn't hold it together.
And this boy's name is Joseph Kelly at Anderson Brothers Bank in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So
holler out, Joseph.
I'm giving the holler out to Joseph.
Thanks
today.
For being a mythical beast and a Myrtle beast.
Yep.
And for giving Dad his money.
Yeah.
You know, don't stand in between him and his money.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from the people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We made our own cereal. Well, Rhett and Link did. They wanted to create an anytime cereal that brought people back to the cereal heyday of their childhoods. It's now available in two flavors, Sweet Mac and Mellow and Peanut Butter and Honey Sandwich. Rhett and Link personally taste tested and developed these from the ground up with help from the entire Mythical and Mythical Kitchen teams. Order now at eatmishmash.com. Well, on another note, I was going to ask you, Chrissy's dad, Bobby, how's he doing?
Oh, he's doing good. His arm is, you know, I'm going to tell the whole story because this is quite a story, but just to skip to the end, he's been at home. He's been recovering. His arm, you know, he's still fighting like some less intense versions of infection that are much more localized. But so the story, you know, is a really harrowing story. But at the end, he's doing good. To answer your question, to start things off, but. Because I haven't told you from our perspective everything that happened. I know we talked to some about it and you've been talking to Christy about it.
Yeah.
But for the benefit of the Myrtle Beast listening too, I'll just kind of fill in the gaps. So I got home from work. It was a Thursday, and you know, I got home at like 6:30 and Christy and Lando are around and we're about to eat dinner, and like Christy just mentioned offhand, she was like, my dad. He's had an injury. He cut his arm and he's gone in to get it looked at. He's gone to the emergency room. I was like, okay. And it didn't sound like that big of a deal, at that point. And, you know, Christy wasn't getting a lot of updates from her mom, like for the next few hours. It was just like, okay, they're checking him out. And then, you know, we turn in about, I probably went to bed at like 9:30, you know, I like to turn in early. And we didn't talk about it anymore. And then it was between 2 and 3 a.m., I think. Christy woke me up.
Y'all's time.
Yeah, our time. And she was like, Dad's not doing good. You know, I was kind of in a haze, you know, trying to wake up. And she was like, he's not doing good. He's in the ICU, and he has an infection. And then I believe at that point she said, she used the word sepsis, but she definitely, if not then, that came a little bit later, but she definitely used the words ICU, and that like woke me up instantly. And I was like, okay. And I'm pretty sure that the word sepsis was thrown around. I barely know what sepsis is, but it's like, it's when the infection that you have from some sort of injury gets in your bloodstream, right? So then it's like, and that's really bad news. And knowing that you're in the intensive care unit, it's like, oh my God, this is not good at all. And then, so immediately we're like, what do we do? It's always so difficult to figure out, you know, when you're on the other side of the country, you're trying to figure out like, okay, just keep us updated. Are we, you know, do we need to be ready to come home? What? And then I just kind of had this, I don't know if we'd call it a moment of clarity, but I just kind of felt like I was like, you know what? This is very scary. When you're talking about ICU, when you're talking about sepsis, these are trigger words for like a deadly situation. And I was like, you know, there's no reason why we just shouldn't go ahead and mobilize and go back. Just waiting to see if things get worse or if things get better. There's no, we have the means and we have the ability in terms of like our company, my company, and being able to pull strings and move stuff around. It's like, I don't need to ask anybody's permission here, you know? And so it's just like, okay, this can actually be a pretty simple decision. We just need to get on the next plane home so that we can be there and you can be there for your dad no matter what happens. And
and her mom.
Yeah. And so we made that decision by 4 o'clock, by 4:30 or 5. We were leaving the house and driving to the airport to get on a plane to come home. And it was really scary because at that point, you know, I was like, Christy, pack your things, go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. Because I know somebody that's had what Bobby said. Did the doctors or anybody tell y'all before y'all got on this plane and left that this was a 50-50 thing, that he would make it or not make it?
Well, we didn't yet know what the chances were, and we didn't know what the infection was. What had happened to him was he was fishing down in the river, and he had his bait bucket, his minnow bucket, in the water so that the minnows can swim around, but they're still in like the cage that you can reach down into. And he reached down into that to pull out a minnow. And when he pulled it out, he cut his forearm on the edge of the bucket. And he cuts himself a lot. And, but he always does a good job of cleaning and dressing his wounds, which he did for this. And then it was the next day, he was like mowing the grass, and he comes in from mowing the grass, and he's like, my arm is not doing good. I need to go by urgent care. And so he went to the nearest urgent care, and they were so backed up. They were like, well, come back tonight in like 4 hours, or come back first thing in the morning, and you can be seen. And as he was talking to the person at the desk about this, the doctor happened to come out and overhear that he was talking about how he cut his arm in the river. And the doctor said, I'll see him now. And he took him back then instead of waiting 4 hours or the next day. And in retrospect, that little happening, that happenstance moment of getting him seen versus waiting.
Probably saved.
probably saved him because of the like how quickly this infection was moving. And he took a look at his arm and he said, you need to go to the emergency room right now. And then, you know, that was when we started to understand something was going on, and he was being seen. But it was then like through the night that things got worse and he got admitted into the hospital, and they were trying to figure out, okay, mm-hmm. what is this infection that is, you know, ballooning your forearm and potentially moving up your arm? And so, yeah, it was really serious. And so we're packing our clothes, and I'm like, all right, Christy, you need to pack for, you know, I would just take everything to be there for a while. And then there was this one moment where it was like, you know what? I think you probably need to bring a dress for like a funeral. It's, you know, it's one of those tough conversations where it's like very sobering moment. It's like, all right, we have to be ready for the worst because it's definitely on the table. You know, in those situations, sometimes you don't want to say, okay, this could be it for your dad, you know? And it was very emotional. But we had to make an informed decision. And I think that, we found ourselves like packing for the worst case scenario for a funeral. And then, you know, just making plans for Lando and everything, you know, and everything worked out where Lily hadn't started classes. So we were flying out, and then Lily was flying home so that she could stay home and so that Lando could stay home and continue to go to school and everything. So everything was being worked out as we were like getting on the plane and getting there. And then by the time we got there, late that afternoon, like 8 o'clock that night, you know, we go to the ICU room, and you know, he was awake and alert and communicative at the time, and so that was really encouraging. But his arm was scary, you know. It was like it was swollen up like twice the size, if not more, than his other arm. And they had taken Sharpie, and they were marking on his arm the progression of the swelling and the infection, you know, presumably to decide if they were going to have to amputate the arm, you know, or that if it was going to progress in such a way that it was going to kill him. And, you know, they were pumping him full of antibiotics and, sending off samples in order to know what they were working with. They didn't find out until it might have been another 48 hours. It's not that fresh in my mind exactly the timeline of it, but they eventually found out that it was Vibrio, which, yes, has a 50% survival rate.
Yeah.
So all of our instincts and all of their actions were correct to like to accommodate for that scenario. And at certain times of year, the river water has it in it, and you got to be really careful about that. And they at this, you know, down in New Bern, in the ICU, they were talking about, well, they, you know, we see a few cases of this around this time every year, and it's just, you know, and it can go really south. And but from the moment we got there through the next few days, we only saw positive improvement, you know? So it wasn't a lot of ups and downs for him. It was actually, you know, very fortunate that, you know, the antibiotics worked and that everything headed in the right direction pretty much all along the way. But it was definitely scary. And but yeah, it was, I think he ended up being in the hospital for, not quite 2 weeks. Like I said, I'm kind of fuzzy on the timeline because once he was stabilized, I flew back home and Christy stayed there. Then there was this whole other thing because then Christy got tested positive for COVID. And so then it was like, well, you can't see your dad. And I never got it. I never tested positive. I had flown back home and then isolated myself, thinking, knowing that I was exposed, but I never got it. But yeah, so then it was like she was there, but she couldn't see her dad. And then her mom had to stay away, and like her sister and our, you know, her husband were able to step up and help. And, you know, we made, everybody made it work, but it like, I was like, man, this is getting, we thought this is getting better, but then it got scarier and it was even more complicated. And it was a lot. It was a lot. But, yeah. Mr. Bobby pulled through like a champ. And yeah, it was, it's kind of like a new lease on life experience for him, you know, because it was definitely a brush with death.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just kind of wild to think that it's, it can just happen from a simple cut.
Little cut.
Yeah.
And the bacteria in the water.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
But I mean, I was glad that we made the right decision to say, you know what, we're gonna go, we're gonna be there. It yet it's a 5-hour flight. It takes a lot of rigmarole to figure things out. But this is the right thing to do, and this is what we want to do. And it, you know, I think it's one of the challenges of living out here is feeling like you, you know, you're separated and you can't be there when people that you love need you. And so I was glad that we were able to get back as quickly as we could. And it felt like a drill that, you know, it's honestly, it's just, I think it's something that we have to be ready for, right? It's like, I mean, from your perspective, I think about like, you've never had, as far as I can remember, you've never had a scare like that, you know? Am I forgetting? I wouldn't be forgetting anything, right?
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
I mean, I know that when you got your leukemia diagnosis, that was, I mean, that hit us like a ton of bricks, and it sounded really scary. But the, like, you were never, you know, it was a totally different process. And
yeah, that
assessment.
Was a whole different, yeah. whole different thing. Yeah, I mean, the doctors told me they could get me well, and if I was going to get something, that was the best one to get.
So. Right. But it did get me thinking about, you know, I know there were talks with Christy's family, and it's like when something like this happens, it's like you start to ask questions. Okay, are your affairs in order? You know, in terms of like your will and all of that type of stuff. You know, it's like having to figure all that out. Is that something? I mean. Do you have all that figured out?
Well, you know, I didn't have all that figured out. And then when Dan got killed.
Right.
And really didn't have a will about stuff or anything. And, you know, it was all of a sudden it made me see that said, boy, I need to get my ducks in a row. So me and Nancy both, we got all our stuff figured out and got a will and where everything fixed up where the family don't have to worry about nothing. So
okay,
yeah.
I hate to be, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's always like, well, yeah, I'll get to it, you know. But then someday it's like, all right, I got to stop and I got to figure this out.
It don't make any difference either if you're in your 40s or right. You're in your 70s. It don't make no difference. Your day might be today. And
that's true.
If it ain't, if you ain't got that stuff figured out, it leaves a mess for the spouse or whoever that's left to take care of stuff. I'm telling you, it a mess. So
yeah, we
if we learn one thing out of this for my Myrtle Beach, to I think what Link's trying to get to, if you don't have a will or whatever you do where you live, you need to get one. It don't make no difference how old you are.
That's true.
So
yeah, I've got all that squared away for me too. Have you picked where you want to be buried? I haven't even asked you that. It's the type of thing. It's not the thing that you want to talk about, I guess, unless you're telling a story like this on a podcast, or if it's a good question to ask. Like, what are you know? You don't have to go through all of your end of life wishes at this point. But I was just curious. Do you have a spot you want to be buried?
Yeah, I got a place. Nancy had where her first husband passed away, and she's got a spot, and then she had another spot right beside of it. So me and Chuck's going to be right in between her when we get buried. So.
She's going to be in between the two of you.
Yep, that's right.
Yep. Okay. All right, so that's another spouse sandwich. This is like a theme of the show. So you're going to be permanently buried in a spouse sandwich. You're going to be the bread of a spouse sandwich.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Is there room on the other side for anybody else? No.
No.
I know Mom's got a spot next to Lewis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I even said that. But yeah, it's...
She bought it. Nancy bought this spot for Brandy. And
her daughter.
And she don't need that spot, so Nancy's going to let me have it.
So. That's the thing I haven't nailed down. I mean, there was so many, like, once you go into the process of, like, last will and testament, and, you know, it's like, you know, I did that through the people that I work through, and they know all the questions to ask and, you know, all the paperwork to do. But the one thing that I haven't done is, and I just don't have a clue where I would be buried, honestly. I just don't.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I don't even know if I want to be buried.
There's a lot of people now that aren't getting buried. They're cremated and put in a little urn. If you want the ashes spread it somewhere, part of them, you can do that. And if you don't, you just set them up on the mantle.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, it uses a lot of energy to, like, burn up a human body. So it's not the most environmentally sound thing I've heard. I need to think about that a little bit
but
more.
But, hey, it's a lot cheaper than getting buried at a funeral home.
Yeah. I'm not a grave visitor. At least I haven't been up until this point. Like, I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings. But, like, when you get buried in this spot, I don't know how often I'm going to come visit that spot.
Well, just think about me once in a while.
I'm going to think about you a lot. But I'm not, you know, like in the movies where they walk up to the grave.
You know, remember a little something about it. I mean, I don't have you been back to the spot where Papa's buried?
No. See, I think about him all the time. Yep, I don't need to go back there, but and I'm not denigrating or diminishing anybody who that's part of, you know, that might be very edifying of practice for some people. I'm just saying for me personally, I don't have that instinct. So I'm not going to be putting flowers on your grave, I don't think, Dad.
You can send somebody to do it.
I can send somebody. All right, yeah. Is that what you're saying?
That's what Nancy does. She makes all these things for people, for cemeteries, and she carries and puts them on there for them. So, but we've already figured out there ain't nobody going to do that for us, so I ain't going to put that pressure on you either. I don't care if you put flowers on my grave or don't. It don't make no difference because I ain't going to know it.
Okay, good.
That's the thing that people do, I think.
That's what I needed to hear. I just needed you to let me off the hook.
Help them feel better about their family being buried there. I mean, because the people that's buried there don't know you put flowers on there to start with.
Mm-hmm. So, what about, like, funeral stuff? Since we're talking about it, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper. Have you thought any about, like, what you want in terms of a memorial service? Have you written any of that down?
No, I hadn't done that, but I started one a little bit. But and Nancy's been to the place in Sanford, the funeral home. She's got hers all set up, and we were up there for a funeral 2 weekends ago, and she said, we can go on back here in the back and you can pick out your casket like I did. And we can get all this stuff took care of. And I said, not today.
Well, you're going to get stuck with an ugly one then if you don't watch out.
Oh, no. She can pick out. Hey, family can pick out.
You're not opinionated.
You can come in. No.
See, I'm more interested in like a party. I mean, like
well,
a celebration.
I'm just going to
think about that.
I'll have a burial at the church where we go to church up there and we'll have a visitation. See if I got any friends and anybody shows up. So I won't know it, but you know, see you seen that with both of your papas and.
I know, but for you, I just think we might need some sort of special shagalicious party. You know, maybe it's an after-hours thing. Maybe it's down there at Myrtle Beach.
We can do that and have a little memorial thing if you want to and have it down there at Fat Harold's out there on the beach. That'd be all right with me. Yeah.
Well, I want
these people that do that.
Just think more about it. You think more about it. This is what you want. And then once you've thought about it and you've laid it all out, then we're going to decide to do it before you die. That's the real key.
Oh, yeah.
Well, fake your own death. You have everybody show up, and then you're there to see it, man.
Well,
that's what I want
to
do.
If you throw a party down here, these people are going to show up, whether you know them or not.
Or did that. Oh. Yeah. Well, okay, so I didn't mean to make it morbid, but I mean— There's nothing wrong with talking about all this stuff. It's actually a really good thing. No. And it's especially when it's like, okay, you know, the good news and the celebration that Christy's dad pulled through and that he's doing great. And like I said, he's out of the woods, but they're still dealing with they're still keeping an eye on the infection because it is a long recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. It is a long recovery, but he's getting there. Thanks for asking.
Well, hey, Link, I got a little note from some of your people and said, y'all got a new release for something coming out. And,
oh, okay.
And I don't know what, they didn't tell me anything, but, I'm kind of
I forgot about this.
What's going on?
I got so fixated on death and funerals and stuff that I forgot to tell you. We have made our own cereal, Dad. It's called Mishmash.
Oh, my God.
Isn't this crazy?
Mishmash.
Yeah, Mythical Mishmash. And there's
what does that say? Sweet?
Sweet Mac and Mellow. It's
And Mellow.
It's supposed to look like a box of mac and cheese, but it doesn't taste like cheese. It tastes like sweet corn cereal with marshmallows. And then, check this out. We got two flavors. Peanut butter and honey sandwich.
Oh, man.
Yes. This was my idea.
I probably won't be able to get that here, so you probably just going to have to send me a box of that.
Well, I'm glad you asked. All you got to do is go to eatmishmash.com, Dad, and order some.
Oh,
but
man.
I will send you some. That's pretty cool, right?
Hey, of course, that don't look like you and Rhett, but I mean.
This is our mascot, the Randler.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's kind of like our Tony the Tiger. You know you made it when you can release your own cereal. At least that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Well, they don't nothing surprise me with you two. Well, ain't no telling what else will come out in the next little bit, so.
Are you a cereal lover?
I eat cereal at least once instead of fixing me an egg sandwich or something in the morning. Some mornings I fix me a bowl of cereal. So yes, I do eat cereal. And then sometimes
I'm gonna send you some.
Instead of, when I get at night when you ain't supposed to eat a whole lot and get a hankering to something that don't fill you up, I'll eat me a bowl of cereal then too.
Yes, that's what I do, Dad. My favorite time to eat cereal is like 11:30 to 2:30 in the morning. That's the best time to eat cereal.
Mine's more like 8:30 to 10:30 while I'm watching, maybe watching a ball game or something for it and want a little something to eat. And
it's so
kicks
good.
Me up some cereal.
All yeah. right. I want to see what you think yeah. of our cereal, so I'm going to send you some of this.
Okay. All right.
Shut it down.
Well, hey, we've talked about a lot of stuff today. And
yeah, we did.
You know, a lot of it was fun, and then some of it was serious, but it was fun. It was fun. Oh, good God, I can't talk no more. It was fun having all you Myrtle Beach here with us today. Hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving. And Link, I'll see you soon.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
A little bit before Thanksgiving. And don't forget to tune in next week for another mini dispatch. And please click those follow and subscribe buttons for us wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you got a joke, question, or comment you'd like to share with me, email me at ratherbeshaggin53@aol.com. So we can't wait to spin your world around next time, and we'll see what we can get into then. And it was good seeing you again, son. And I'll talk to you later.
Yep. Love you.
Love you too.